We're going to continue worshiping the Lord tonight by taking just a couple minutes, five to be exact, to meditate on a section of Scripture. So if you would please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. This is not necessarily an evening to take notes, but just to think about the things that are being said. I had one of those moments as a parent where you feel like you failed utterly. We have this little nativity set that we bought for our children, and I was walking by it, and I saw everything in its proper place, the angels, the wise men, you know, the shepherds, and there in the back was Iron Man. He had his arm raised powerfully over the stable as if daring Herod or anyone else. And you think, my children are confused. You can pray for them. Some things just don't belong. And in the life of a believer, discouragement, complaining, grumbling are all things that just don't belong. Especially during this time where we focus on Christ coming, which is really the gospel. And if you want to be proved, if you want that proved to you, you just read Romans chapter 1. You'll find it in the first three verses that the gospel was promised beforehand through the prophets concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. That's what we're focusing on tonight. And maybe you're like me and peace on earth doesn't describe your holiday. I know it's hard running around and shopping, and we can get crazy, and in that, there's opportunity to become fleshly. I want to encourage you tonight by showing you a righteous man who did not have a righteous response to the coming of Christ, even when it was right before him, but then later he did. That man was Zechariah, and I'm not going to read everything about him, but I'll just tell you, Zechariah was a priest. He was in the temple offering incense to the Lord. And an angel appeared to him and told him that the promised Messiah was coming and that Zechariah would have a son, and his son would be the man we know to be John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he, as a priest, probably at that moment, if he had had faith at that time, could have responded by singing a praise to God, but he didn't. His first response was a lack of faith. And as a result, the angel said that he would not be able to speak until the child was born, until his son was born. So he had 9 months of silence to think about what was coming. And then he had a righteous response. And why I give this to you is I want you to be able to line his heart up with yours, to see if they match, to see if you are having the right response to the mercy of God given to you through Christ that we focus on at Christmas. Let me just share with you three things that a right response to the mercy of God brings. And they're all here. Number one, it would just be mercy produces praise. You know that you are responding rightly at Christmas to the coming of Jesus Christ if you are worshipful, if you are full of praise. If you look at chapter 1, you look at verse 68. This is how Zechariah begins. When his mouth is opened, when he has the child, and belief has replaced unbelief, he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." That is a man who is responding rightly. He is blessing the Lord. And he highlights some things in there. First of all, the visitation. When we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the visitation of God, that God has come with a very express purpose to accomplish our redemption. Christmas is about us remembering our redemption through Christ. He highlights the faithfulness of God. Remember what it said in Romans? It was promised beforehand. Zechariah is praising God that now it's here. For him, it has just arrived. Those promises are coming. They're being realized right in front of him. And also salvation. The coming of Christ is the salvation of man. And in his case, especially for the Jews who had been long awaiting it. The second thing is mercy provides a purpose. If you want to know if you're responding rightly to Christ at Christmas, check the purposes of your heart. Let me read verses 74 and 75 for you. He says, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. What does he want to do? What is the point of being saved? It's to serve God. It reminds me of Romans 12, to become a living and holy sacrifice to the Lord. God saves us so that we can serve him in holiness and righteousness, which are essential to serve him. If you try to serve him without those two things, you're probably trying to impress him or earn something. But when you know those things are given to you, then you can serve him with joy to his glory. And the last and third thing is that mercy provokes penitence. That is, it inspires in us repentance. It bids us come and part with the things, the idols that we've been holding on to. And we see this in the latter section. He begins to speak of to his son, his newborn son, about what he will do and what he will be. And he says that his son is going to, verse 77, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. When we remember the coming of Christ, we remember that we were lost. We were these people sitting in darkness. That would be spiritual ignorance. I love, and he describes Christ's coming was like the sunrise for us. It was like being saved from a long, cold, dark death when we saw the Lord. Christmas is a great time. One year, my wife and I asked a couple men in our church if they would write down their testimonies. And before Christmas, we read the testimonies of these men, and we said, this is what God has given us this year. These are the presents from Christ, the salvation of men, brothers in the Lord now for eternity. Remember your salvation. Let mercy provoke in you a penitence to part with sin. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your mercy. Help us to meditate on it richly the way we ought. I pray, Father, that we would not be lost or given over to a fleshliness, a grumbling, and a complaining this year, but instead, we would be focusing on Christ. And as we focused on Christ, Lord, I trust that the result of that will be walking in the Spirit, and we will be full on Christmas of praise, even now, Lord, praising you. I ask for those, Lord, who have maybe been singing but not feeling in their hearts a true praise, a true love, a true valuing of Christ. Lord, may that be broken down and broken through this evening so they may walk in that newness of life and joy in Christ. I also pray, Lord, that we would be consumed this holiday with the purposes of God. Tomorrow is not about ourselves. Tomorrow is not about getting what we want. Tomorrow is about serving God with all that we have. And Heavenly Father, I pray that mercy would provoke in us a repentance, that we would remember who we are and from where we have come and how you saved us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your coming. In your name, amen.